All right, what's up, guys? It is Saturday, June 3rd. Yes, you heard that correctly. It is Saturday, June 3rd. We typically don't broadcast on the weekends, but we had to rearrange our schedule. So we hope you could join us tonight for this special devotional message. I believe if you'll stick around and not get offended at the title, and you actually stick around, I think you're going to be really encouraged and blessed. For you guys that have been partners with us, probably any time in the last decade, I'm sure you probably heard me talk about this. At least we try to revisit this about every 2 to 3 years because we have new partners and new listeners and viewers of our programs. So I want to talk about tonight 6 blessings that are associated with honoring the Lord in our tithes and our offerings. Again, if you can get past the title without getting offended, and I'll tell you why, because you'd be shocked at the amount of people that get offended about these kind of topics. So before we get started, please do me a favor and hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, depending on what platform you're watching or listening from. And if you are listening for the first time, you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that. It's available on Apple and Android devices. If you'll go to your Play Store and just type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo. You can download the free app. If you're watching this by Rumble, by YouTube, by Facebook Live, or by the website, there's going to be under the description, it says download our free app. If you'll download, if you'll look for that link, hit that link, go here. It's going to take you right to the page where either on an Apple device or an Android device, download the app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every content that we put out. So without further ado, let's get started. I want you, if you have a Bible, please turn there with me. If you don't have one on hand, you can just follow along with me. I'll put this up on the screen for you guys that are watching visibly. But we're going to be hanging out in Malachi chapter 3 for probably most of this topic. Now, we'll jump outside of this, but for at least, I think, the first 3 or 4 points of this, it's all right here in Malachi chapter 3. So let's go right into it. I'm going to read the entire passage, and then we'll break this down. And we're going to talk about 6 blessings that are released as a direct result of honoring the Lord in our tithes and offerings. All right, here we go. Again, we'll start around, we could start in verse 8 and 9, but I don't want to get into the curse. You'll be cursed with a curse if you don't do this, because we are, again, this is Old Covenant, Old Testament, and we're under the New Covenant, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Even though tithing was instituted before the law of Moses, I don't believe that if you don't tithe, that you're going to be cursed by God. And so I want to let that known right off, because I know a lot of prosperity preachers preach that if you don't honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings, then you'll be cursed by God. I don't believe God curses people under the new covenant in the New Testament for that. Okay. So I want to say that right off the bat, because again, the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Okay. So I want to jump down, but I don't want to negate the fact that there is blessings associated with giving your tithes and offerings. So that's why I want to start at verse 10, okay? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out for such a blessing. Let me read that again. And pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now again, I know that anytime you start talking about money, giving money, tithes, offerings, whatever, In the body of Christ, it stirs up floods of emotions from many who think believers should never discuss the topic of money, or that, quote, all preachers want is your money. Churches, that's all they want, your money. All ministries want your money. Now listen, do some preachers all they want your money? Sure. Do some churches all they want your money? Sure. Do some ministries have no motive except for to get your money? Sure. But we can't paint a broad brush and say that every preacher, every church, and every ministry has this motive, okay? We can't do that. While this may be the case for many that have these wrong motives, again, let's dig into God's word and see what blessings are associated with this. Now, I want to say right off the bat that if we go to Malachi chapter 3, the context here is you have the Levitical priesthood that were commanded by God to honor God in their tithes. This term tithe predates all the way back before the law of Moses. And the word tithe actually means tenth. Okay. And it predates all the way back to the time of Abraham when he met Melchizedek. And the Bible says that Abraham gave a tenth or a tithe of all of his increase, and God blessed him. And we're going to show you all this in this program. This is so good, guys. If you're willing to receive this, I'm telling you, it is a life changer. It will revolutionize how you see these things and how the kingdom of God operates when it comes to giving and receiving. Okay, so Abraham did this. This is recorded in the Bible. And it was, again, it predates back before the law of Moses. So this was, and then later this was incorporated into the law of Moses. But again, it started before the law of Moses. So Abraham was blessed. And then he had a son named Isaac. Isaac continued the practice of tithing. He was blessed. We're going to cover all this in more detail. And then Isaac had a son named Jacob, and it continued with Jacob. So three generations all show in the Bible where this practice was passed down, and it was carried out by three generations. And I want to say it back in the Old Testament, when they tithe, they would bring the first fruits. That's what they call this. The first fruits would be the first fruits of the cattle, the first fruits of the sheep, the first fruits of the corn and the wheat and the wine and the oil and the produce. Okay. It wasn't so much money then, but again, now we fast forward, we're in 2023. We don't go into the storehouse. Now, let's talk about the storehouse. The storehouse back then was the temple, in which that's where all this stuff was brought to. And then they distributed it. The priests would distribute out, and there was three different tithes. There was the Levitical or sacred tithe. This is in Numbers 18. Then there was the tithe of the feast, Deuteronomy 14. And then there was the tithe given to the poor, Deuteronomy 14. But the priests also partook of the tithe as well, because it ministered to them as well. So watch this. The storehouse was the temple, and wherein which the people brought all the tithe to, so that it could be distributed to those in need. All right. So today, in today's vernacular, we wouldn't use the temple. We would, as the storehouse equates to your home church or the place where you get fed. That's what I always say. I don't want to just say it's your home church, because some people don't have a home church. I'm just being honest with you. They don't, because of circumstances, because of geographical location, because of all the falsehoods, and they just can't find a biblically sound church. So their home church, or their storehouse, if you would, is the place where they are ministered to or fed. All right. So I wanted to cover all that. So now in the New Testament, we don't bring wheat and barley and sheep and goats and oil and wine as tithes. We distribute out of our own treasure. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also. All of us work with our 10 fingers, unless you've lost a finger here, but we have, all of us, I'd say 99% of us have 10 fingers wherein which we work with. And we honor the Lord with a tenth of all of our increase. So this would be our money. This would be what we, when we go to work and when we make our, when we get our paycheck, we then take a tenth or a tithe of that and we honor the Lord in our tithes. And then that's the tenth of that. That's the tithe. But then the offerings are above and beyond that. Okay. So now that we've covered all that, I want to get right into what you guys came here for, the six blessings. All right. So number one, if you're taking notes, according to Malachi chapter 3, the Lord says that when you honor him with your tithes and your offerings, it opens the windows of heaven in our lives. Now, one of the best illustrations that I can find on this, what does this open the windows of heaven mean, Brother Ricky? When we go to the book of Genesis chapter 28, now I'm not going to pull this up on the screen. You guys can follow along with me. I'll read the scriptures to you, but I want you to really kind of focus on what I'm saying here. In one of the best illustrations, again, in Genesis chapter 28, we see where Jacob, now, who is Jacob? Jacob is the son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham. Remember, Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek. He gave birth to Isaac, and then Isaac gave birth to Jacob. So this is Jacob. So here we have in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob goes out from Beersheba and goes toward Haran and came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. The Bible says that he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head. Now imagine, I don't think I would get a good night's sleep if my pillow was a stone. I'm just saying, that's, man, I've had some bad pillows in my day that hurt my neck, but man, I am very thankful that we have evolved from stones to pillows, feathered pillows. Come on, somebody. I like my feathered pillows, but anyway, that's a whole other story. Anyway, he laid down in that place and he slept. Then he dreamed. Listen to what it says here. This is in Genesis chapter 28. He dreamed and behold, a ladder was set up on earth. And its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. So you have an earth, or you have a ladder that's on earth reaching all the way to the heavens. And he's seen angels coming down and going up this ladder. So that implies that there's an opening in heaven where angels are coming down and going up. Y'all see that? Look. Watch what it says here in Genesis chapter 28. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, quote, I am the Lord God of Abraham. That would be his grandfather, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Now God is saying, not only was your grandfather blessed and your father blessed, but now I'm going to bless you and your descendants. Let's read on. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south, and in you, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you. And I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. Now is when it gets very interesting. The Bible says that Jacob awoke from his dream, this sleep and where in which he had this dream. And listen to the statement that he makes here. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. How would you like to be in a place where God was at and he didn't even know it? Come on, somebody. And he was afraid. The fear of God hit him. And he said, quote, how awesome is this place? This is none other than Bethel, or the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Oh, he used a term here called gate of heaven. Interesting. Now, when you start studying the Bible, you will see this term gate of heaven and window of heaven interchanged. You go to Revelation chapter 4. John the Revelator says that he sees a window in heaven. He talks about this in Revelation chapter 4, this gate of heaven. So do y'all see what we're seeing here? So it's interchangeable, this term here, the windows of heaven, the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put his head upon and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place, again in Hebrew, Bethel. We call it Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Now's when it gets very interesting. He does all this. He sets up a memorial. He had that encounter, has a memorial, and then Jacob makes a vow to God. Now, you listen real carefully what this vow is. Let me just pull this up because I got to show you this. I'm in Genesis 28:20 of Genesis. Then Jacob made a vow saying, quote, listen to this, if God will be with me, which he's already said he would be, and keep me in the way in which I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, that would be provision. Look at this, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, that would be protection, then the Lord shall be my God. Now look at the next part. And this stone, which I've set as a pillar, shall be God's house. That's a memorial where he made this covenant. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Or again, a tithe to you. Y'all see that? It's right there. I will surely give a tenth to you. A tenth of what? All that you give me. Come on, guys. Isn't that powerful? So this is a powerful revelation. And some of y'all still don't get this. So let me just elaborate a little more on this. This event that Jacob experienced so impacted him that he made a covenant with God and said, I am going to honor you all the days of my life with a tenth or a tithe of all that you give me. And all of my increase. So you have to ask yourself, what did Jacob truly see and understand here? We know, again, we know according to scripture that he saw a ladder ascending into heaven, God himself standing at the top of this. There is a, he calls it a gate of heaven, or we could say a window. A window and a gate, they're all interchangeable in the Bible. He said that he saw angels ascending and descending. Then the Lord begins to confirm to him that his entire family, his father and grandfather, has had a covenant with God and they've honored him in a way in which God has so blessed his family that now God is including Jacob in this. Now, somehow in this revelation, either by, and I'm going to throw some stuff out here for a second, just bear with me. Jacob already understood. Oh, you got to get this. Jacob already understood and knew and had a revelation of tithing and giving to the Lord. You say, well, how do you know that, brother? Hello, his father was Isaac and his grandfather was Abraham. You don't think Abraham passed this down to Isaac and Isaac passed this down to Jacob? Why else would Jacob, nowhere in this conversation did God tell Jacob, I want you to honor me with the tithe. Nowhere. Jacob, out of his own accord, when he had this encounter with God, said, my Lord, I am going to honor you with all the tenth of all my increase. Why did he do that? Because Jacob, at that point right there, that encounter at Bethel, the house of God, he saw in the spirit, God opened his eyes, gave him the revelation of one of the blessings, one of many, I would say, of the blessings of God upon those who honor him and make a covenant with him in the area of tithing. And notice that Jacob reiterated what God said he was already going to do. He said, I'll be with you. I will protect you. I will keep you and I will bring you provision. And Jacob said, all right, God, I'm going to hold you to it. And as a blessing back to you, oh, come on, I'm going to honor you with the tithe. Now, in case you say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't see anywhere where Isaac was blessed. Okay, really? Let's talk about Genesis 26, shall we? Jacob's father, Isaac, the Bible says in Genesis 26 that there was a famine in the land and that Isaac sowed in the land during a famine, and in the same year of a famine reaped a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Not only did Isaac reap a hundredfold during a famine, but then it says, and the Lord blessed him. Come on, that's above and beyond. It's one thing to go out here and to sow a crop in the middle of a drought and a famine. It's another thing to reap in the midst of that a hundredfold. But then he says, and was blessed. So don't tell me Isaac wasn't blessed. Don't tell me that Isaac didn't pass down what he learned from his own father. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. Number one, if you make the vow that Jacob did, you make a covenant with God and you start honoring him and your tithes and your offerings, the Bible says, see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. And then that leads us to number two. In Malachi chapter 3, he says that I'll pour you out such a blessing that you won't even have room enough to receive it. Oh, come on. This is like Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Do you know what Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says? It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's what Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. In Malachi chapter 3, the Lord tells us that not only will honoring him with the tithe and offerings open the windows of heaven, but it states here that God will pour such a blessing that we will not have room enough to contain it or receive it. Now look, the New Testament gives us insight into what this actually looks like. For example, when Jesus multiplied the fish and bread, not only did he supply the needs of the present that were there, which were 5,000, not including women and children, because they did not number them in those days, but after he took 7 fish and 2 loaves, blessed them, and distributed them to the disciples, and then they gave, come on, it's all about when they gave, when they blessed and gave, then the Bible says that not only were the needs of the people met, but they had 12 baskets full left over. Oh, Luke 6:38. Jesus said this, give. I know some of y'all don't want to talk about this. Some of y'all like to rip this out of your Bible because you hate this kind of preaching. You don't like it. Because why? Because listen, can I give you the truth here? Listen, the only people that don't like this kind of preaching are the people that don't give. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said the people who don't like preaching on tithing and giving are the people who don't tithe and they don't give. It's just, listen, the people that don't like preaching about adultery are the people living in adultery. The people that don't like preaching about holiness are the people that don't try to live in holiness. Oh, y'all, you don't want me to keep, I'll plow deeper and deeper if you want me to. But it's the truth and you know it is. And if you'll listen to your heart and listen to the Holy Spirit, he will confirm to you what I'm telling you today. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom. And with the same measure that you use, it shall be measured back to you. Well, I don't believe in that sowing and reaping and giving and receiving stuff. I think that's that prosperity gospel. No, listen, am I saying that there's distortions in the prosperity gospel? Absolutely. Am I saying that they have it all right? No. Am I saying they have it all wrong? No, because there is principle. That's what makes it dangerous, because there is truth in what they say, but there's a lot of falsehood in what they say. We're going to cover that tonight. The truth is there is giving and receiving and sowing and reaping. Look, now some of y'all still ain't convinced and you think I'm not in the book. So let me bring you to the book. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let's read on. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So don't tell me sowing and reaping is not equated to giving. Because it says right here in verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Hello? Again, that's why God wants to pour you out such a blessing that you have not room enough to receive, so that you may have an abundance for every good work, so that you can be blessed to be a blessing. Let's read on here. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, that would be God, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Let's read on. For the administration of this service, what service? Giving, receiving, the supplying seed to the sower. Watch this. For this administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. Did you catch that? So in other words, listen, when people say these ignorant statements like, well, I don't think the church should take up any tithe or any offerings, how do you think it's going to operate? Who's going to pay the lights to keep them on? How are you going to distribute to the poor, the widow, the orphans, the needy? How are you going to have a benevolence fund? How are you going to reach the young people? How are you going to have a mission field? How are you going to send missionaries out? How are you going to do anything or operate in anything? Listen, I've always said it like this. Living water is free, but the pipes that it runs through is not. Oh, some of y'all, that just went right over your head. Listen, the water's free, but the pipes that run it are not. This message is free. The app that we have is free for our ministry. The app that we give you guys, it's free. It's free to you guys, but it's not free to our ministry. We have to pay for that. These messages are free. The podcasts are free. Everything is free. You guys don't have to pay a dime. All we ask, I'm just using our ministry for example. All we do, and I can't say this for every ministry, because there's ministries out there that do manipulate, and they do it out of wrong motives, and they even get into a lying spirit and start doing things that's manipulation. We'll talk about that more in just a moment here in a little bit. But again, so everything we do, we operate, is free to you. But it's not on our end. We have to pay for the app. We have to pay for the subscription fee. We have to pay for the web hosting and the updates on that come every month. We have to pay for the mailing box. That has to be paid for. It has to be renewed year after year. All these things, this costs money. All of this stuff. So you guys, again, that's why we ask our partners to give as the Lord blesses you, as God puts it on your heart, that you may give not out of obligation or out of a grudging heart, but you give as a cheerful giver. And again, we'll go back to this and we'll visit this in just a moment. Let me get back to this. So again, we see here that there's this principle that God wants to bless us, but he wants to bless us so beyond and above that we can be a blessing to others. Now, if you go to the church of Philippi, which in your Bible, it's the book of Philippians. The church is the church at Philippi. Paul is writing to them and he says to them, go study this. You'll find this out. That they were the only church that shared with him concerning giving and receiving, and it was them only. Again, this is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. That's where I'm reading from. Listen to what he says, quote, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So here we have Paul who is also addressing the principle of giving and receiving. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now listen what Paul says here. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Oh, some of that just went right over some of y'all's head. Paul is telling them that, listen, he is telling them that there is a blessing associated with giving. He said, not that I seek the gift. He said, but I seek the fruit that abounds on your account. In other words, he's saying, and God, by the way, guys, this is the same dude that said it is more of a blessing than to give than it is to receive. Now, why did Paul say that? Because he understood that God blesses those who give. Come on. Is anybody getting this tonight? So listen to what he says. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. In other words, he said, look, I'm good. But God's going to keep blessing you because you keep blessing me. Let's read on. Philippians 4, 14 through 19. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. Now listen what he describes the offering as. Ready? A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So Paul equates offerings, given offerings, as a sweet smelling aroma, acceptable sacrifice, and well-pleasing to God. Did you know that your giving is a form of worship? And let's read on. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Oh, come on, guys. Did you get that? Paul is saying, as the people of God give, as they honor the Lord in their giving and their tithes, their offerings, that God shall supply all their need according to his riches and glory, which is the fruit on their account. So now let me go into the distorted aspect of this. I want to say here, in the area of prosperity preachers, where they distort this, and that is, watch this, they make the blessings of the Lord, plural tense, all about materialistic things, money, wealth, okay? That's what they make this as, blessings. So anytime you talk about blessings, they equate this to a bigger house, a $200,000 vehicle. They've got 6 Lear jets. They've got designer clothes. They've got $1,000 sneakers. Come on, they got all that stuff. Y'all know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. A lot of these people that were on Christian television, they're all guilty. Not all, but many of them are guilty of this. That's the distortion of this. It's a polluted distortion of this message that I'm trying to tell you today. Because the truth is, the reality, so what are the blessings? Well, I believe in 3 John 2 gives us an idea of this. 3 John 2, listen what he says here. He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Now, did you know that God wants you to prosper? Did you know the Bible says, let them shout for joy. Let the Lord be magnified who finds pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. There is a real, true biblical prosperity. Oh, you don't want me to go into the fact that some of the greatest patriarchs of the Bible were blessed and well blessed. I'm talking about Abraham. I'm talking about Isaac. I'm talking about Jacob. I'm talking about David. I'm talking about Solomon. Should I go on? I mean, Job was blessed. Job had abundance, well blessed. So don't give me this whole thing. Well, God wants you so poor that you don't even have a bucket to relieve yourself in. That's not biblical either. Well, brother, the Bible says that the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but Jesus has nowhere to rest his head. Guys, you know how many people has used this scripture and they try to say that Jesus was homeless, and it's not true. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about he had nowhere to rest the head of his government. Now look, some of y'all is offended right there because you've been taught this. So I'm gonna take you into scripture and I'm gonna show you. This is in John chapter 1. Look down here. In verse 37, the the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Look at this. They asked him, "Where are you staying?" Okay. Now watch what he responds. And he said to them, "Come and see." You want to know where I'm staying? Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. So look, Jesus was staying somewhere. He wasn't just out in the field. Well, Brother Ricky, I've heard this one too. Well, Brother Ricky, nowhere in the Bible did anybody provide Jesus for his ministry. Nowhere in the scriptures. Wrong. And let me just show you that too. So we're going to clear up all this stuff, guys. This is in Luke chapter 8. Look what it says here. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him as the disciples, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene was one of them, out of whom came 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others," ready, "who provided for him with their substance." You go look up the word substance in Greek right here. Look, I'm using a blue letter Bible. I've looked up the Greek word for substance. Okay. This is the Greek word for it. And it means, ready, possessions, goods, wealth, and property. Again, these women who were set free and delivered by Jesus' ministry provided for Jesus with their possessions, with their goods, with their wealth, and with their property. Joseph of Arimathea was very wealthy, and he provided an empty tomb for Jesus' body when he was crucified. So again, we're destroying these myths that has circulated in the body of Christ. It's just not true. Okay. Now, am I saying that we're not going to go on the other end of this and say, like some of these prosperity preachers, that Jesus was this super wealthy man? No, Jesus was not super wealthy. He was a Nazarene. He lived in Bethlehem for a time. He was a carpenter. He wasn't super wealthy. But again, to say that nobody provided for Jesus and that he was just some bum that was going around, you know, bumming this and bumming that off of people, it's just not true, guys. So let me get back to this. 3 John 2. Here's what John says. So I said all that to say there's a true prosperity in God. There's a true prosperity that God wants in God's people. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things," watch this, "and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Well, I don't believe God wants you to have that health and wealth. Well, hello, John, if you listen, is all scripture given by inspiration of God? You have to answer yes or no. And if you say yes, and then you turn around and say that what John said here, he did not mean that, then either the word's contradicting or you have been offended by the word and you don't like what it says, so you're trying to twist it to your own demise. John says, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that God wants us to prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. Notice he did say there is a real prosperity in God in regards to substance. But he also emphasized prospering in our health and in our soul. What good, listen to me, guys, what good would it be for us to prosper in material wealth, yet we're always sick in our bodies and sick in our mind and sick in our emotions, and they're bankrupt, and we have no sound and no health? We don't, listen, oh, you don't want me to really preach on how Americans treat their body and they make themselves sick by the things they ingest and they eat and they partake of on a continual basis. And then they get mad at God. And they don't understand why God's not healing them, why God's making them sick. And they go to the altar call after altar call after altar call. They get the elders to gather around them and they get the intercessors. Oh, I wish, and they to pray for me, intercede for me, and believe for me, and fast for me that God would heal me. Yet they don't want want to take any personal responsibility on what they eat and drink. And then they go over and the Bible says that you know not your temple is, or your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if any man destroys the temple, God will destroy him. That's another one that people's completely taken out of context. What it actually means in the Greek is, watch this, in the Greek it means that if you destroy your body through these means of what you're doing to your body, it actually means that your body will begin to rot and deteriorate and that God will not restrain you from doing it. Oh, you're not hearing me. Listen, there's people out there that they blame God and the devil for everything and never take personal responsibility. You don't want me to preach on that, because then you'll really get offended. Some of y'all is always complaining about the devil's on your back, the devil's on you, the devil's target you, the devil's he's got your number. When in further investigation, it turns out that it's probably not the devil. It's probably that you just had a bad day. You ran over a nail that gave you a flat tire. You stayed up way too long on a Sunday night because you went to the Braves game, or you went to your favorite baseball team and you couldn't get up early the next day to go to work. So you were 15 minutes late and you blame the devil for that. You ate Taco Bell for lunch and then you were sick 3 hours later. And then you blame the devil that it's a spirit of infirmity. Come on. I'm preaching right now if you're willing to receive it. So the point is, there is a true prosperity in God's people, and that God wants to bless you abundantly above all that you could even ask. He wants to pour out such a blessing that there be not room enough to receive it, so that you don't hoard it up for yourself, but that you're a blessing to others in need. Number three, the area of tithes and offerings is the only area that God tells us to try him in. Did you know this? This passage of Malachi chapter 3, it is literally a place where God says to try him. Other translations word this as put me to the test. This is so powerful of a statement. Think about this, guys. This is the only place in the entire Bible where God challenges us to test him in, and it's regards to tithes and offerings. What a bold statement it is from the Lord to say that if we step out in faith, make a covenant with him, begin to be obedient with him in our area of tithes and offerings, that he would return, that he would do what he said he would do. Guys, listen, I'm going to tell you, yesterday, June 2nd, was 23 years I have been serving the Lord. And the first year I didn't get this revelation, but on the second year I did. So for 22 years, my wife and I has honored the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. And God has blessed us above and beyond. He has blessed us. Why? So that we can just go around and we can say, oh, we're so blessed of the Lord. No, so that we can be a blessing others. What you don't know is we have given big things away to people because God has put it on our hearts. We have given people computers. We've given people laptops. We've given people televisions. We've given people, we've pretty much given people vehicles. We have been a blessing others because God keeps reciprocating and blessing is just as the word says he would. Number four, God said, oh, this is a good one. He would rebuke the devourer off of your life. The word here is a term meaning to consume, eat away, and destroy. This is what the word devour here means, to consume, to eat away, and to destroy. It literally is a picture of locusts devouring crops. In today's vernacular, we would say the Lord preserves our lives from things that attempt to take us under. This would be a real true assignments of the enemy. Or things happen, okay? Appliances go out. Things happen to the home. Things happen to your vehicle. Things like this. God can preserve us through hardships, famines, layoffs, recessions, depressions, and the list goes on. Come on. If God can bless Isaac, who had a covenant with God during a famine and was able to sow and reap 100-fold and blessings in the same year, the same God that Isaac served is the same God we serve. And if God did it for him, he can surely do it for you and I. Oh, come on. He did this with Abraham. He did this with Isaac and Jacob, who all made this covenant. Remember what Jacob said? What did he say to the Lord? Listen, quote, if God will be with me, Lord, if you'll be with me and keep me in this way that I am going. In other words, if you'll preserve me and you'll give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I've set a pillar upon will be God's house, and I will give you a tenth of all my increase. And by the way, just to throw this out, God honored that word, because you see, Jacob and Esau, his brother, they wanted to kill each other. Esau was out to kill Jacob, and Jacob fled from Esau. And for years, they didn't see each other. They were apart from each other. But the Bible says they came back to one another and made peace. And Esau was, Jacob was trying to give a tenth of his increase. He was trying to honor Esau, his brother. He was trying to sow into Esau's life, and Esau would not take it. He says, I am blessed. God has taken care of me all this time. Oh, come on, guys. Isn't God good? This is so amazing. If somebody will get this revelation today. Look, let's go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, he says, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, what you put on your body, what you wear. He says, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you can worry? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much, how much more will he not clothe you of little faith? Listen what he says in Matthew 6, 32 and 33. Let's go to Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Look at verse 33. Here it is. But seek first, not second, not leftovers. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what are these things? Things are clothing, they're food, they're necessities. They're the things that we need in life. All right, number five, ready? When we give in secret, the Lord sees in secret and rewards us openly. So we're still hanging out in Matthew chapter 6. Let me take you right here. Matthew chapter 6. Look at this. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. That's giving. To be seen by them. Otherwise, that's why I have a real problem with people, or I have a real problem with these churches that they, when they do building funds and all these things, they want people to, you know, well, if you'll sow $1,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, we're going to put your name on a plaque, and we've got a bronze plaque and a silver plaque and a gold plaque. And depending on how much money you give, we'll put you, if you give, you know, an abundant amount of money, we'll put you on a gold plaque. We'll put your name on it and we'll put it out in the lobby, and everybody will say, I have a problem with that, because again, the Bible says, don't give to be seen by people. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. But let's read on here. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will get their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, we're not talking about if you have to write a check somewhere in church or whatever. That's not what he's talking. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you're doing it with the actual motive to be seen. You want people, you want to sound the trumpet, and you want everybody to know in your church that you're the big time giver and tither, so that the pastor can put you on the front row and you can have your own parking spot out there in the church parking lot. That's what we're talking about. James covers that as well. The book of James. I'm not going to read that today. You can go read that in your own time. James chapter 1. Look at this. But when you do a charitable deed, or when you give, do not let your left hand see what your right hand's doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. Somebody say in secret. Watch this. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you. And look what he says here. He will reward you openly. He will reward you openly. Now, Brother Ricky, what does he mean by he will reward you openly? If you go back up to Malachi chapter 3, God says there in the context of giving your tithes and offerings, he goes through all these things and he says, see if I will not do this. I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll rebuke the devourer. This, that. Then he gets down and he says, all nations will call you blessed. Come on. Did you know there is a blessing of God that can reside upon you that other people around you will notice it? Listen, this right here, guys, can I tell you, can I be honest with you? Do you know how many people that my wife and I has been able to witness to that knew where we used to be? Oh, y'all know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about right here. If some of us knew the backdrop of your life, they would understand and they would know that there's a God. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give God some glory right here. When my wife and I got married, we didn't have nothing. We barely had enough money to get by. We had a rinky dink apartment in Kentucky and we were struggling to get by. We didn't know how we were going to make ends meet. And then God revealed to us the covenant of tithes and offerings. And we gave all that we had in an offering plate. And I'm telling you, when it says your left hand not see what your right hand was giving, I didn't want my right hand was trying to fight my left hand from putting it in the offering plate, but I did it. I was obedient because it was prompted by the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, the next day, we didn't know how we was going to get our next meal. We didn't know how we was going to pay our bills. The next day, there was an unforeseen check in the mail. We didn't know where it came from. We didn't know how it got there. But not only did it meet our needs, but it was above and beyond. And that was the day that I learned this principle. I wept and I said, God, from this day forward, I was like Jacob, I said, I vow to honor you, the tithe and the offering all the days of our lives. And 22. And from that day forward, friends, year after year after year, God blessed us. He met our needs. He supplied us. He promoted us. He increased us. I'm telling you, and where we are today is mind blowing because it doesn't add up on paper. It doesn't add up, but God is faithful. And he said, if you will try me in this and see if I will not do it unto you, then God is not a man that he should lie and the son of man that he should repent. If God said he'll do it, he'll do it. Hallelujah. So that's what I'm talking about. When God says, I will reward you openly, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless you to the point where everybody's going to see the blessing of God on you. I remember we moved from one state to another because God was in it. God instructed us. He led us to move and we moved and we didn't know. And it was by faith. We didn't know what we was going to do. And I'm telling you, I had family members laugh at us and mock us because they knew that we were being led by God and they didn't have a relationship with God. So they ridiculed it. But then all of a sudden they begin to see how God showed up and God blessed us supernaturally. And then you know what it did? It shut their mouth. And that leads me to number 6. Ready? If you're taking notes, number 6 is God remembers those who give to the kingdom work. Let me say it again. God, number 6, God remembers those who give to the kingdom of God. Here's another fascinating point, and that is that when we give to the work of the Lord in these areas, God himself sees this and even records it in heaven. The Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 10, that there was a certain man. He was a Gentile. He of Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. The Bible identifies this man as a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household. And the Bible says, let me just pull this up for you. Look at this. He was a devout man. He was one who feared God with all of his households, who gave alms generously. Today's vernacular, he was a giver. He made a lifestyle of giving to the people and prayed to God always. And the Bible says that about the ninth hour of the day, he saw a vision and an angel of God comes to him, says his name. And when Cornelius observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, my Lord?" Look what the angel tells Cornelius in verse 4. He says to him, "Your prayers and your alms or your giving have come up for a memorial before God." Did you catch that? Cornelius is one of the things that God remembered and was stored in heaven as a memorial was his giving. Cornelius's giving caught the attention of heaven. Now, let me go all the way back to Genesis. This is where we're going to close this message. Remember, I asked you, I said, what did Jacob see in that vision involving a ladder and angels ascending and descending on it with the Lord directly involved? I propose to you that God opened the eyes of Jacob and gave him a revelation that as we honor the Lord and our possessions, our tithes, our offerings, that God sends angels down to receive them, and then they go up unto the Lord where he receives them, and then the angels come back down to earth to distribute blessings upon the people. Well, Brother Ricky, you've gone way too far. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's true. Well, you listen, an angel of God showed up to Cornelius' house and told him that his fear of God, his prayers and his giving went up before God as a memorial, and an angel showed up at his very doorstep to give him a blessing. And you know what the blessing was? To give him the salvation message of the Lord Jesus Christ through a man named Peter. Peter was in prison. An angel shows up, breaks him out of prison. Paul was sailing to Rome and was about to die. He began to fast. An angel shows up and gives him a word on that he would be delivered from the shipwreck that he wouldn't ensue. Even in Mark chapter 12, guys, there was a story in Mark chapter 12 where they were at the treasury and Jesus was sitting the opposite of the treasury watching people put money in the treasury. You don't think Jesus cares about what you give? It's funny that he's sitting there watching people put their money in the treasury. And the Bible says there was many rich that came and they were giving out of their abundance, but there was a widow who came and gave out of her necessity. She gave what she had, not out of the abundance. And the Bible says that in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury." Why? Because God loves a joyful giver. And he doesn't want you doing it out of obligation. That's why I said at the beginning of this, we're not under a curse. Listen, I don't believe it's ever God's, I don't believe God wants you to give him or to honor him and your tithes and offerings out of the fear that God's going to curse you with lightning and strike you down and kill you because you missed your tithe. I don't believe that. But what he's saying is here is God loves a cheerful giver. They gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty. And it got the attention of heaven. It went up before heaven as a memorial. So listen, I want to close with that. So if you're watching this today, I know this is different. And if you're still here and we didn't lose you because you got offended or mad or unfollowed us or whatever, and you're still here. Listen, if you're watching this today, we're not trying to shake you down for money. Listen, I believe with my whole heart, you're going to give to where you're fed. If our ministry blesses you and encourages you, increases you, and feeds you, and this is your home church, I believe you're going to honor the Lord. I don't need to shake you down for money. That's not the motive here. What I want to do, I'm going to say what Paul said. I'm not seeking the gift. I'm seeking the fruit on your account. I want you to pray about, and I don't even think you need to pray about it. I think the word is clear on this. I'm going to rephrase that. I want to challenge you today to step out in faith Make a covenant with God in your tithes and offerings and watch God begin to manifest these six blessings over your life. Now, how can I make that kind of declaration? Because God himself said, try me and see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. See if I will not rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. See if I will not remember your giving and all these other blessings that are associated with giving the Lord and honoring the Lord and worshiping the Lord and covenant with the Lord in your tithes and offerings. Come on, let me just pray for you right now. So again, I want to challenge you to do that today. Listen, if you, again, we're not trying to shake you down for money. Your storehouse is where you're fed. So that's between you and the Lord, okay? I don't believe in manipulation. I'm not going to get on here and say all this nonsense like, well, the Lord showed me there's 10 people that need to sow $1,000. And this, I don't believe in that stuff. It's manipulation. It's garbage. We let the Holy Spirit move and do his will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have delivered this word to the best of my ability and by the unction of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would begin to move upon your people, that you would begin to open their eyes to the revelation of this like you showed me 22 years ago. And Lord, as they step out, and I know, and I remember the day I stepped out in this, I was nervous, I was fearful, I was apprehensive, I was excited, I had all these floods of emotions, and the devil tried to convince me that I was stupid and I was wrong and it was all lies. But God, I saw your hand come through. Your promises were true. They were yes and amen. And you've been faithful for 22 years. Lord, I remember, I'll never forget when I pastored for 2 years that church in Indiana, where that 82-year-old woman came up to me and she'd never heard about this before. Nobody in 82 years of her life, no one ever gave her this revelation. And she stepped out in faith on a fixed income and began to tithe out of a fixed income. And Lord, I'll never forget and remember 3 months later, she came to us and went before the church and began to testify how God had supernaturally blessed her above and beyond. She began to receive bonuses and checks in the mail and inheritances and all kinds of things because she stepped out in faith, 82 years of age. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you're no respecter of persons. What you did for Abraham, what you did for Isaac, what you did for Jacob, what you did for Cornelius, what you did for myself and all these other ones, you can do it for each and every one of us. For it's by faith that we react and we respond, and you respond as well. And I give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, God bless you so much for taking the time today to come on to the program. I know, again, please like this, share this, subscribe to it. Share this with people that you think this would be a great message of encouragement to and blessing to them. And maybe this will, maybe you knew all about this already and you're already doing this, but this just kind of sharpens your sword a little bit. It just solidifies what you already knew and what you've been doing, and it just gives you great joy. Whatever the case would be, we pray that it'd be a blessing to you. Again, don't forget to subscribe, hit the like button, hit the share button. And again, you pray about becoming a monthly partner. If you don't have a home church and you consider End Time Headlines your church, your home church, I pray that you just step out and believe and be obedient in tithes and giving your tithe, giving your offerings, and you watch God move. Now, well, listen, I'm not telling you, don't expect, you know, the next day you got a check in the mail that's going to pay off your home. That's not how it works. I'm telling you, God, you will be tested in this. You'll be tried in this. But listen, if you'd like to support this ministry, this is your home church. This is where you get fed. Whatever the case would be, there's two ways you can give. You can give electronically where the donate button is at the bottom of the app. That's where you can give through the app. You can give through the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, guys, thank you so much. Listen, if you come on here on a Saturday night, I'm pretty sure you probably got a very strong relationship with God, and that these principles you already know, because it's a Saturday night. Most people are not going to get on a stream on a Saturday night unless they just love the Lord, they love teaching, they love good equipping messages. So we appreciate you. We appreciate all of our partners. Again, without your partnership, your financial giving, all this thing, we would not be able to do what we do on a week-to-week basis. So we're going to sign off for tonight, this weekend. Have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll be right back here on the 5th, which will be Monday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. So until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.